J. Bel Castro, Lake Superior School District Superintendent, is with me by phone on this snowy day of no school. Thanks, Jay, for being with us this morning.
Always a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yes. So, as always, there's plenty to talk about. Should we start with just what's on the top of your mind, like what's going on in the school these days?
Well, there's a lot going
there's
on.
There's a lot, yes.
Yeah, I was Wednesday in my office, and I got a call at about 12:15 asking if I could be in St. Paul on Thursday at 3 to testify. The Lake Superior School District has joined forces with 14 other school districts that what we all have in common is we passed a referenda in 2021. And then, of course, as inflation happened, our bids came in extremely high. And so what we've done is we've built a coalition to go after some one-time state monies to get our projects back to where they were prior to this crazy inflation. And so yesterday I was with Todd Lee, who's the Red Rock Central superintendent, and Jeremy Schmidt, who's from Becker. And we testified, and very, very grateful to our local representatives and Grant Hofschild, who's carrying the bill. But we were in front of the committee yesterday sharing our why. And yeah, it was a little interesting. I don't think there was a bill that was, the bonding bill failed to pass. So the emotions were pretty hot and raw prior to us testifying, but at least we were able to share our message and hopefully we hit the right nerve.
Huh. So that is really interesting. I'm sure you guys put out a really coherent plea. I mean, it's just hard to imagine with a huge surplus that some of that wouldn't go to long-term education investment. Do you have any idea of the chances? Like you said,
go ahead. What we have to do is, you know, we have to help educate our legislators. We definitely do not want this request to fall under the Educational Finance Committee. Reason behind that is, and this is probably a good transition into where the school district is at from an operational side, but we need all of the operational dollars we can to just ensure that our operations are solid. But, you know, as they kind of ping pong it back and forth, do we put it into a tax bill? Do we put it into educational finance? We do not want it in FI because we certainly do not want to lose any of our operational needs, which they're deeming to be a historical year for school finance. So, you know, back and forth with that. But we hired a really good lobbying firm. There's the 15 districts. We all came in and hired Frederickson Byron out of St. Paul, and very impressed with their knowledge and just kind of their understanding of how we need to go about this.
Did most of the superintendents show up with similar needs monetarily and specifically to what they're looking like? Are you all kind of doing the same thing, or some schools have a lot greater needs than others? How does that work?
Well, we're towards the top. There was us and Becker. We were at 41,100,000. Becker was at 44.3. So I think we lead in the amount that the taxpayers supported. Some schools are much, much less. If we are successful, the total 15 school district coalition is requesting 125 million. That then would go through MDE. We would then submit grant applications to get our projects back. And how we came up with the 125 is at about a 20% inflationary rate on construction materials. So if we were able to be successful here, that would bring back to the Lake Superior School District somewhere between just about 8 million. Doesn't make our project fully complete, but much, much closer to where it currently is as we were right now. Even taking $7.1 million out of the scope in the different buildings in allocating them elsewhere. An example would be, you know, you may remember talking about vacating Fifth Avenue, potentially buying some other properties, creating a unsafe bus drop off at the Mini. You know, all of that has been pulled off. You know, the original plan was to replace both of our bus garages. That's been pulled off. So right there, you're talking about $4 million that we put back into really just the focused educational needs of the facilities. But that's not what we said to the taxpayers, and that's not the support they gave us. So our plea is we wouldn't have come to St. Paul and asked. Our taxpayers stepped up. We're proud of our communities for what they support. What's beyond us is we kind of tied it to a natural disaster. You can't control a tornado or a flood. You can't control inflation. And we went in with good numbers, built off of our architects and our engineers. But, you know, we're just, again, as you indicated, there is a lot of state surplus. You certainly would hope that this message is easy to understand and compelling enough that they would give us support. But I can tell you, being in St. Paul a number of times this spring, there's a lot of hands out. There's no question. There's a lot of people that have compelling messages,
right,
as well.
Of course. And then, as you said, it's hard to know where this bill is going to land. Are there committees that have known members that listeners could contact to communicate their wishes? Are there things that listeners can do to support this?
Thank you for asking. Yes, the answer is yes. What we're doing is we're taking the lead from our lobbying firm. Today at 12:30, we will be getting further instructions from our leaders to tell us, you know, kind of our next steps. But absolutely, a call to action will be big. This Sunday at 3 o'clock at Two Rivers High School, Representative Natalie Zanzikar and Senator Grant Hochschild will be doing a town hall meeting. So all of the listeners interested in hearing our local representatives talk to education and others, please join us in the auditorium at Two Rivers High School this Sunday at 3. But yeah, there will be certainly calls of action. I'll be sending information out as it becomes clearer to our plan of attack.
All right. Well, that's good to know that that's coming anyway. And then I suppose do you know when you will know?
We're thinking, you know, the session closes end of May, so the long play would be there. Right now, there's hope that there potentially be two bonding bills passed. Certainly, with how yesterday's first attempt failed, that might be a bit lofty. But if there's a first one passed, I think, you know, again, as early indications in January was the plan to try to get the first one done in March, which, of course, we're in. That didn't happen yesterday. So, you know, we know the session ends in the end of May. Will something happen before that? We're not certain. That's, you know, certainly beyond our control.
Yeah. But anyway, we will know by the end of May one way or the other, it seems like.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
All right. Whew. Well, and now here you are back in the Northland with the back to the day-to-day operations and with your school board, where I know there's some other also not easy topics going around about teachers. And tell us what you can tell us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, the Lake Superior School District, as every school district across the nation, had been infused with federal dollars through COVID. You know, Lake Superior District stat, we came in with just under about $7 million to help with a variety of different things. You know, we never had as much protective equipment in our buildings. We never had as much cleaning supplies through COVID. But that also allowed us to utilize dollars that we got as one-time dollars from the federal government in a number of different ways. An example would be, we've got currently 5 buses that we have on lease. We're going to use our federal ESSER dollars to buy those buses out. I drove back a new Type 3 vehicle that you know, the district, you only have so many years to transport students in vehicles. And so we've timed out some of our vehicles, so we were to use some ESSER dollars to purchase vehicles. And to also offset just, you know, curriculum costs and other operational costs. Well, unfortunately, those dollars have dried up. We're down about 60 students in our district, and that seems to be an epidemic across the state. As COVID kind of came to a close, the students that were in the buildings prior didn't return fully. And so if you take 60 students for the Lake Superior School District at roughly $6,000 per student, you can see, you know, you're talking, you know, over $250,000 in lost revenues.
Yeah.
So with a combination of federal dollars coming to a close, a reduction in student numbers, the district would be deficit spending. So the administrative team, through the direction of the school board, have now been looking at ways to really bring our revenues and expenditures closer. And unfortunately, when you're dealing with a school district, about 85% of your overall budget is people. And so when you're looking, having to make some cuts, and we're looking, you know, we're north of $500,000. We'll know more in later March, early April, as the 2022-23 budget gets updated. The board will approve in April a revised budget. We'll really know the exact number, but right now what we're looking at, a forecasted amount, is somewhere around 600,000 to 700,000. So we're needing to make reductions. We have used some of our dollars to offer an early retirement initiative. So we've got some staff that can take an initiative and move them out. Ultimately, if we can make some reductions through attrition, that would be our number one way of doing it. Unfortunately, we won't get all the way there with that. But, you know, we started these conversations early because we knew they were coming. That time gives us some time to really be creative and really be thoughtful to what we're doing, because ultimately we got to have a blend between being financially responsible yet ensuring we've got the best educational product in front of our students. So that's the dance we're doing now, and the board, I'm guessing, will be taking action on our reduction plan in May.
Okay. And school board meetings are public. People can attend them.
Absolutely.
And learn more about the process. If this is something that leads them to more questions than answers, then I would say you're welcome to go to the meetings. Is that fair?
Yeah, that is. And I know we're probably running out of time, but I will also just throw out the fact that, you know, our district does not have an operating referendum. You know, what we passed in November of 21 is a building bond referendum. Many districts across the Northland and certainly across the state, primarily in the metro, you know, they go back to the taxpayers and, you know, for anywhere from $4 to maybe $1,200 to $1,500 in additional taxpayer support. The district isn't there. When I was out promoting our building bonds, that question came up. And at that time, my answer was that's not our intent to do an operating levy. But, you know, we have to throw everything on the table. And you know, that will be something that we'll be discussing as well of, you know, do we look to go back to the taxpayers for some additional operational support? We better have a very solid plan, as we did with our building project that came back with 61% support. And I think it was because the plan was so solid. You know, for an operational levy to be supported, I think we'd have to have a very solid plan as well. So, yeah, we're talking about a lot of different things. I give credit to our principals, our curriculum folks, our assistant principals, community ed people, transportation, for really looking at ways to ensure, like I said, the difference between, you know, just making the cuts and not worrying about the education. Can't do that. You can't run the education without worrying about the budget. And so, you know, we have some really talented minds at the table talking about what potential solutions make the most sense.
Whew. Sounds like you got several uphill walks these days, Jay.
Yeah.
And that's the nature of the business, I know. And I know you're also working to communicate with the public and with parents and the community about these and other things through a new podcast. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. Yeah, no, I'm a big podcast fan, and you know, really an inspiration, quite frankly, is our conversations here, because I feel I enjoy them, and I feel that they're light, and they roll well. And so through that, I've established a podcast with Lake Superior School District. My first edition can be found on the district website under Superintendent Messages, and that's just a simple welcome to who I am, how I got to this position. But yes, we'll be looking to do a number on. I'm looking to do one a month, looking to release the end of the month. So I'll be cutting my second podcast here probably next week, talking about the MCAs that are coming up and, you know, what we need to do to get test scores up. But there'll be a variety of different topics. Some will be very heavy, some will be very light, and things in between. But guest orientated, I want to bring in the community. But ultimately, with, you know, writing a monthly letter in the superintendent page on the website to talk about construction projects. So if you're ever looking for the update there, I do a monthly update, and I do a quarterly write in our Ripple that goes through our community ed. But then in addition to that, I'd like to, you know, with a podcast, now we've got three mediums in which people can learn more about what's going on within the Lake Superior School District.
Yeah, sounds good. And I know that, just communication is a challenge. I know that our, you know, we're, at the paper, we're often searching for what's going on in the high school, and I hope that the communication methods continue to grow, and that, you know, that things like concerts are available on the calendar. There's just so many different things that need to happen in order for community and school to be integrated, as I know you hope it is. Is it?
Absolutely.
And I'm reading between the lines a little bit here, Jay. It is difficult to get the words, the conversation going back and forth. I see you trying lots of methods, and that's kind of what I'm surmising from that.
Yeah, you know, I'm a person that, you know, I enjoy at my time, you know, learning what I want to learn. And certainly now with having a variety of different messaging techniques, you know, our stakeholders will have the ability to do that. But what this is not is a secret. This is not something where, you know, we serve our communities. And so, you know, it is my goal, and certainly even back to when we began with our parent advisory group as when I was principal at Two Rivers High School, these are our buildings. And it's meant to be, you know, getting people in, hearing concerns, getting ideas. But absolutely, I mean, this has got to be a two-way street, and I'm very open to having those conversations, and certainly encourage any listener to call me direct. I certainly enjoy talking with our folks.
Wonderful. Thanks again, Jay, for talking with us this morning. Thanks for your time.
Absolutely. Enjoy the day.
Yep, you too. Bye-bye. That was Jay Bell Castro, superintendent of the Lake Superior School District, giving us a little bit of an update on some of the stuff going on in our local schools, of which there is lots to talk about.